Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
The Apostle Paul is dealing with the doctrine of reconciliation, and in verses 21 and 22 of Colossians chapter 1, he is applying it to individual sinners who have trusted in Christ. After having dealt with it in regard to the universe, in verse 20, and by him that is Jesus to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross, he then brings it down to the individual personal level of the Colossian Christians that he's writing to. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And so he tells us the what and the how and the why of individual reconciliation in this wonderful text, which helps us to understand the gospel. And so we'll continue studying this on this Thursday, January 28, enabled to do so by your faithful and generous gift to the Beacon broadcast. Thank you so very, very much. Well, Paul first paints the black picture. He says, this is the way you were. And he describes them as alienated, enemies, and wicked. But, he says, that's not the way you are now. Now you are reconciled. What a wonderful word. Reconciled to God. Brought into right relationship with God. Having a harmonious relationship with God. No longer enemies. No longer alienated. No longer guilty of wickedness, but now, having been made right with a thrice holy God, having been reconciled to God. That is a beautiful word. We don't use it very often, but maybe we should use it more often in talking about salvation. Talk about reconciliation. How to be reconciled to God. If you can explain the need for reconciliation and the way of reconciliation, then you can explain the gospel to somebody else. And if you can't do that, maybe you don't understand the gospel well enough. Yes, he's talking to those who have been reconciled, but he starts by reminding them of their former condition before they were reconciled. But having painted that black and bleak picture, he now comes to the good news of the gospel. You who were enemies and alienated and wicked, he has now reconciled. God took the initiative. God reached down to man. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. The gospel is not that man reaches up to God. The gospel is that God reached down to man. Thank God that he did. Jesus Christ is not a man who is moving toward God. He is God moving toward man. Oh, that's a huge difference. Some people represent Jesus Christ as if he is a good man, a great man, the best man who ever lived, a great teacher, the one who has grown, drawn closer to God than anybody else, and if we'll learn from him and listen to his words and follow his example, we too can be drawn close to God like he was, as if what is great about Jesus Christ is that he was a great man who was reaching out to God. But that's not the picture. Jesus Christ is the eternal God who was willing to become man. He is, in the act of the incarnation, reaching down to man, because that's the only way that sinful men could be reconciled to God. And in the cross of Christ, God removes the cause of his righteous wrath toward us. And in the cross of Christ, God heals the ruptured relationship that existed between sinful men and a holy God. And so we can say with the songwriter, I love this hymn, we sing it at our church from time to time, a hymn by Robert Murray McShane entitled Jehovah Tzidkenu. The Lord our righteousness is what that means. I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah Tzidkenu was nothing to me. Like tears from the daughters of Zion that roll, I wept when the waters went over his soul, yet thought not that my sins had nailed to the tree, Jehovah Tzidkenu, 'twas nothing to me. When free grace awoke me by light from on high, then legal fears shook me, I trembled to die. No refuge, no safety in self could I see, Jehovah Tzidkenu my Savior must be. My terrors all vanished before the sweet name, my guilty fears banished, with boldness I came to drink at the fountain life-giving and free. Jehovah Tzidkenu is all things to me. Even treading the valley, the shadow of death, this watchword shall rally my faltering breath. For when from life's fever my God sets me free, Jehovah Tzidkenu, my death song shall be. Is that your testimony, my friend? That's what Paul is talking about here. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Who reconciled us? Who reconciled believing sinners to God? It is God who did that. Who is reconciled in this work, man or God? It is both. My God is reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me as his child. I shall no longer fear. Wonderful, wonderful truths in these hymns. And the greatest of all blessings is reconciliation with God, which comes to us in Christ alone. Go to Christ, run to Christ, trust in Christ and him alone. Reconciliation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But we move from the what of individual reconciliation to the how. How did God accomplish this great work? And he tells us that it was in the body of his flesh through death. Moving from verse 21 into verse 22. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. This speaks, first of all, of the necessary incarnation, and secondly, of the necessary death. The necessary incarnation. How was this reconciliation accomplished? It was accomplished in the body of his flesh. In the body of his flesh. His body, which consisted of flesh. In other words, Jesus was a real human being in a real human body. In fact, he's more than just a physical body. He acquired a real human nature. All that's involved in human nature, both the physical and the spiritual part of man's human nature. And Jesus Christ acquired all of that. He was 100% human. In the incarnation of Christ, God fully identified with fallen humanity. Now, this is very contrary to the teaching in Paul's day by those called Gnostics, who taught that there is such a great gulf between spirit and matter that you could never join those two together. Spirit, in their system, is pure. Matter is always evil. You cannot join spirit and matter together. And so they couldn't come to terms with the incarnation of Christ, the perfect spirit God entering into human body, a human nature. They couldn't come to terms with that. To their theology, to their religion, that was impossible. And so they postulated some ways to explain who Jesus was. Some of them taught that he was actually nothing more than an apparition. He looked like a man. He talked like a man. He seemed to be a man, but he was not. He was like an angel. We find angels many times in the Old Testament and in the New, who appear as men, but they're not really. And they can suddenly appear as a man, and they appear very much like a man. You think they're men. And then they disappear because they return to their spirit condition, which is what angels are. They are spirits, but somehow they are able to acquire this human likeness for particular tasks that are given to them by God. But then when their assignment is over, they return to their invisible spirit state. And some Gnostics taught that that's the way it was with Jesus. He wasn't really a man. He just appeared to be. But there's no way that the pure spirit God could ever come into the nature of a man and the physical body of a man. That would be impossible to their theology. Or some of them explained it as follows, that Jesus, the man, was fully a man, born like any other man, conceived like any other man, in the womb of the Virgin Mary. I've never heard an explanation for who they considered to be his father, but presumably Joseph. And he was a man, a good man, the best of men, but nevertheless, nothing more than a man until his baptism, and that at his baptism, the Christ came upon him. That dove that descended from heaven, that the Bible tells us is the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, well, to the Gnostics, that was the Christ coming into the man Jesus temporarily, or maybe to say coming upon the man Jesus temporarily, and during then his earthly ministry, from his baptism forward, he was the God-man, the Christ resting upon the human Jesus, but that Christ departed from him before the crucifixion, because again, in Gnostic teaching, it would be impossible for God to suffer death. And so the one who died on the cross was not the God-man, it was just the man, Jesus. Not the man Christ Jesus, the Christ departed from him. He was Jesus, born of a Virgin Mary, until his baptism. He became Jesus Christ at his baptism until just before his crucifixion, after which he became Jesus once again. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. He has now reconciled us in the body of his flesh, this eternal God who became man in order to reconcile guilty sinners to Almighty God. He became flesh, the necessary incarnation. He had to do that. A body fully able to undergo human suffering was necessary for this reconciliation to occur. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.